Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to the first Sunday of Advent at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Whether you are joining us in person or online, which I'm guessing we may have more than usual today, what do you think? We are so glad that you're with us because this is going to be a great day of worship. We are going to be considering the coming of Christ among us. And we're going to be inspired by an Advent message from Pastor Lindsay. We want to offer a special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. You are brave people, and we're glad you're here. We have a gift for you at the welcome desk, so stop by there after the service. And that's where you can find a friendly link, which is a person who will help you with anything you need to know, help you to meet some people. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Liz Hoover, Rose Bledsoe, and the Smith family, who will be lighting the first candle on our Advent wreath. Please complete connection cards that you'll find in your bulletin and sign up for opportunities on both the front and the back. And I would like today to suggest, let me see if I've got mine, that you take that card and across the top, you see where it says date and updated contact information. Do you see that third box? It says add to church directory. Check that if you would, and put the word online on it, and we will get you into the online directory, which is so helpful. It's such a good way for all of us to get to know each other, and it's private only to our congregation. And if you send in an email, we'll get your picture in there too. And then suddenly people, instead of saying, hi there, you, they'll say, hi there, Bob. Okay? All right. Now, what else have we got going on? Oh, if there are any children that are still here with us in the sanctuary, you are welcome to stay, but you are also welcome to go downstairs to our wonderful Sunday school, fully staffed, all up and running well. Now, I have a few things to share with you this week. Of course, it's the beginning of Advent. There is so much going on. First of all, I want to tell you that if you have not yet signed up for an Advent study, there are so many opportunities for them. They are listed on the screen and in your bulletin. But the first one starts at 11 o'clock today. So you can just head down there after you go to coffee hour, grab a cup of coffee, and then head down to room 128, where Julie and Dean Arcuri will be leading that Advent study. And you're welcome. All right. If you like to go out caroling to shut-ins on December 21st at 12:30, again, not long after the second service, you can sign up on the bulletin board and you can go and sing for some of our shut-ins. If that date doesn't work for you, you can go next Sunday. A group of us are going to go to the Regency in Whitmore Lake at 1 o'clock to sing. You know, that's where Eric and others from our congregation are living. And then another way that we are celebrating Advent is we are following our tradition of gathering coats for those who are cold. We're gathering new or gently used coats, and we're giving them to homeless people in Detroit and Ann Arbor. So bring those gently used coats by next Sunday into the coffee hour there. You'll see it. December 14th, we will be having our annual Christmas musical with all of our youth singing and dancing and remembering lines amazingly. Tickets are on sale, though, for the taco dinner with Santa that follows. The program, the musical program, is free, and you can just come to that. But if you want to stay for the taco dinner, then you need to buy a ticket. Those, you can get those online or in the church office. And finally, on Christmas Eve, there will be beautiful poinsettias all over up here in the chancel. And if you'd like to donate some flowers to help decorate that, the cost is $25 a plant. You can donate online, or you can write Christmas flowers on your check. And if you want to, you can take them home after the final service on Christmas Eve, or you can leave them, and we will deliver them to shut-ins. So now I invite you to stand for our opening hymn, number 206, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. Please stand together.
Please be seated. Advent begins with hope, not shallow optimism, but deep, steady hope that God is drawing near and that Christ's coming can transform our lives and our world. Preparing the way of the Lord means clearing space in our hearts, naming what weighs us down, loosening our grip on fear, and opening ourselves to God's renewing grace. As we light the first candle, we declare that hope is on the horizon. Christ is coming to make the crooked path straight, the rough places smooth, and the broken places whole.
Please pray with me. God of hope, prepare our hearts for the coming of Christ. Sweep away our discouragement, strengthen our weary spirits, and awaken us to your nearness. Plant in us a hope that endures through every season. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'
This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Good morning, church. I'm Pastor Lindsay Hall. It's great to be with you in worship this morning and welcome you on this first Sunday of Advent. Thank you, Liz, for reading our scripture lesson this morning. Won't you be with me in a spirit of prayer? Let's pray together. Oh, good and gracious God, we give you thanks for this beautiful day, for the fresh snowfall that has come down, for the beauty of this earth, and for all of creation. Our hearts rejoice. God, we give you thanks for a time to worship and praise, whether it is from the sanctuary or from the comfort of our homes. God, we give you thanks for the wonders of technology that lets us worship from near and far. Oh God, as we come into this time of worship, may our hearts be filled with the love and the light of these Advent wreath candles. May we feel your hope and joy and love and peace that you bring to us this Advent season. But Lord, if we're not feeling those candles, may your still small voice speak words of love to us. May you remind us that we are your beautiful, beloved child. So now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us, in fact, your beautiful, beloved child. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, hey, y'all, Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday of Advent, and I heard Pastor Lynn say, yes, it is. So for all of the clergy folks or those that really like church liturgy, you might know that it is a Happy New Year to you because this is the first Sunday of the Christian New Year. So we started out every year on Advent, so we think we wish people a Happy New Year on January 1st, but actually it is the first Sunday of the Advent year. So Happy New Year. How are your New Year's resolutions going so far? Have you made one? How's it going? Well, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and now here we are on this first Sunday of Advent as we're preparing for the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we're looking forward, perhaps with great joy, to Christmas Day. And maybe, like me, you're still eating the Thanksgiving leftovers. So this morning, I did a really silly thing. I'm feeling a little shaky this morning because I couldn't resist the temptation. My breakfast this morning was a piece of pecan pie. Don't do that. It tanks your sugar. So I'm feeling kind of nervous and like shaky this morning. Don't do that. But maybe in your home, you also are eating up the Thanksgiving leftovers if you're transitioning from the Thanksgiving holiday now into the Advent season. Are you preparing your homes? Is there starting to be some sparkling lights like you have, like we see here in the sanctuary? Have you put up your Christmas tree? Or a couple of weeks ago, maybe you were a before Thanksgiving house decorator, or there's a after Thanksgiving you're decorating. Have you started your lists? Are you making your preparations? Have you pulled out the recipe boxes of those great things to do? Perhaps you're preparing your lives, your homes for the coming season, for the coming of Christ. But are you preparing your hearts for Christmas as we wait for Christ to come? Are you opening up your hearts and waiting to receive God's grace new and fresh on this first new year? You know, Grace, we hear a lot about the word grace. I was in confirmation class last weekend with our beautiful 5 confirmands, and we were talking about grace. And I said, you know, we hear a lot about this word grace. There's songs about it. There's amazing grace. There's all sorts of words about grace. But what on earth really is grace? Oh, grace is a beautiful thing that we need to think about this Advent season because it's sprinkled in, it's sparkled in, it's all a part of the Advent season. And this thing that we sing about in carols and in hymns and on the radio, what is this amazing thing that we call grace? Well, John Wesley, founder of the Methodist movement, and is having us think about grace. This Advent season, we're reading this book called All the Good, and it's a Wesleyan perspective as we're making our way through Advent. And this first chapter in this book this week was talking a whole lot about grace. And I want to get you up to speed if you didn't have a chance to read quite yet. When we hear about grace, we think about what is that beautiful gift from God that we've received, that undeserved gift from God, and that is grace. This time of year, as we are wrapping presents or sticking them in gift bags with tissue paper, I'm amazed at people that can gift wrap, and sticking them under the tree, we see the presents begin to fill. But one gift that's there that we don't always imagine or don't always see is the gift of grace. And it's in the most beautiful package with the most shiny red ribbon. And when you open it up, it is this free gift of love and forgiveness from God, and we call that grace. In the Methodist perspective and in the Methodist tradition, we have these three expressions of grace. It's not good enough to say that just there's one understanding of grace, but there are three different expressions and understanding of grace. And last week, I was talking with the confirmands. We were thinking, what on earth could this be? Prevenient grace, that gift of grace that everyone receives from the moment they're born, this gift of love and forgiveness, this gift of acceptance and love that God showers out upon everybody, this prevenient grace, it's kind of like sending an invitation out of, you are my beloved and I would love to know you more dearly. Imagine sending sending out an RSVP, an invitation to come and know God more, this grace that goes far and wide to all of creation. That is prevenient grace. And we think about justifying grace. Justifying grace is that grace when we kind of personally name and claim Jesus. When we say yes to this faith, not this faith that maybe our parents or our grandparents raised us in, but when we say yes to the faith and it becomes our own, and yes to a relationship with Jesus, that's justifying grace at work. When we take our SVP and we're like, yeah, yes, that's justifying grace at work. Oh, and the amazing gift of sanctifying grace is this gift of God working in our hearts and lives throughout the rest of our life, helping us to transform and become more and more and more like Jesus, just a little bit more every single day. Helping us to love God more fully, helping us to love our neighbor more fully. And in the Wesleyan tradition, we call that prevenient and justifying and sanctifying grace. And it's one of the most beautiful gifts we could unwrap under our trees this year as we look under those trees. John Wesley says the means of grace are those ordinary channels of conveying God's grace into the souls of human beings. It's those ordinary channels, those ordinary ways in experiencing God's grace. How is it that you experience God's grace in your life? How is it that you experience God's gift of grace? So Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, he and his brother, Charles Wesley, they were at school in Oxford, and they were founding of the Holy Club, and Methodists, oh, they got nicknamed the Methodists because they were so methodical in every single thing that they did, and they had particular ways in which they would grow their faith and experience God's grace. And Wesley said, you know, there's two different ways here. Those things that we do to help us grow in a relationship with God, those are works of piety. But then there's these other ways in which we can experience God's grace, and those are those works of mercy. The works of piety help us grow closer to God. Those are the things that we do, those spiritual disciplines like reading scripture and praying and gathering and Bible study. Those things that help us grow closer in our relationship with God and know God and know God's word more. Those are those gifts of piety and worship. But going hand in hand, Wesley said, but it's not enough just to read scripture and pray and go to worship and take communion. Oh, the being true to his Wesleyan roots here. He said, then there's those works of mercy. And those are the things that we do to care for other people. If the first is feeding yourself, then the other is feeding yourself. The other is feeding others, caring for others. Reaching out in love and compassion for others. How do you experience God's grace? How do you grow in faith? What activities and ways of being do you embrace? You know, quite often on January 1st, we're asking those New Year's resolutions of, what are you going to do to grow and improve? And what are you going to take on this new year? So on this first Sunday of Advent, I'm curious, What spiritual disciplines, what practices do you engage with to help you grow in your own faith? What works of piety or works of mercy do you do? What do you like to do to grow with God? Do you read scripture or learn in small groups and classes or pray or serve in mission or love through justice or extend invites to church or give of your financial gifts? And what's missing there that you might add that how you experience God's grace and grow? I forgot worship. Oops, and I forgot the sacraments. That should have been on there. What could you add to this list? Is it going for a walk in the woods and experiencing God's beauty? Is it sitting still and just listening for God's voice? Is it getting creative and pulling out paint and creating something wonderful? How do you grow in God's grace? What could you add? Maybe it's small groups. As I mentioned, John and his brother Charles Wesley, they were so methodical in their way of being. So they like to organize folks. And they had the Holiness Club, and there at Oxford, they would organize people into these small groups of maybe 6 or 8 people, and they'd gather in similar ages and stages of life, and those were called bands. Men and women would gather, and then Wesley said, well, that's not enough, too. We also have to have these little groups of 10 or 12 people, and those were called classes, and they would grow in faith, and it would keep each other accountable, and there'd be some 25, 30 questions that they would ask each other every time they gathered about accountability, and some of those are quite, get you right to the heart. But if you haven't joined a small group or a class lately, maybe that's something you'd like to try. Pastor Lynn mentioned at the beginning of her announcement, there's so many opportunities to gather and to either read this at home or to gather in a small group offering and small group class and to engage. And so stay at 11 o'clock. And go join Dean and Julie R. Curry downstairs. And if you haven't read the book, it's okay. Just join in for some conversation and some faith formation and enjoy another cup of coffee and dig into God's scripture and try a new spiritual discipline if you haven't done small group life before. Maybe you want to try that out. It was fun to read this chapter this week. I learned a few more things about Wesley I hadn't known before, and I'll lift it up here to you. So Wesley, as I'd mentioned, right, he believed in not just praying and reading scripture, but getting out and beyond the walls of the church. He believed in putting his faith into action, moving beyond the pulpit, moving beyond the pews. I learned something about Wesley that I'd forgotten. If you read, then this maybe sounds familiar. In 1739, so this is the time of Wesley, 1739, he helped to begin and build a school for coal mining families. 1746, he started a microloan, like microgrants program, providing zero interest or very low interest loans to people who are experiencing economic hardships. He's busy yet again. That same year, 1746, he started a medical dispensary, making medicine available to people that had significant and chronic health challenges. Wesley, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, believed in schools and microgrants and medicine, and he had such a positive impact on society, those works of mercy, getting out beyond the walls and taking what you're learning in scripture and living that out into the world and out into society. That's the DNA from which our faith and our tradition comes. So it's not too hard to think that we would take the idea of, a school, we have a preschool here, or ministering to people with medicine, we have a dental clinic right across the parking lot. That's the Methodist roots and our DNA coming forth. Creativity, faith in action, offering hope for the world. This first Sunday of Advent, we have lit the candle of hope. Sometimes, do you ever feel like you don't know what to do? Sometimes, do you ever feel like, Lord, give me the words to pray? In those moments, we can light the candle of hope and know that in dark or hard times, Christ is there, calling us to live as people of the light, calling us to go forth putting our faith into the action, making this world a little bit more bright, called to offer kindness and care and compassion to a hurting world. But in order to do that, we have to stay connected and growing with God, nurturing ourselves so that we can also go forth and nurture others, finding opportunities to read scripture and pray and engage and study, that we might go forth in strength and read new spirit to offer hope to the world. We have an invitation for you to engage. We have an invite in our series about doing all the good we can and offering hope to the world. There are these fun little bags. We want to offer a little bit of hope and fun every single Sunday in Advent with a little hands-on mission project. So we do something called Gifts of Hope. We do something called Gifts of Hope, where folks have an opportunity to shop for a child as a part of the foster families. And we also thought this year, most children like to make cookies. So with our Gifts of Hope this year, we're going to include some Christmas cookie kits, and we want you to help pack these and prepare these for the families. So after worship, sorry, online congregation, after worship, come on into the library. And there's going to be gift bags for you to put the cookies and the frosting and all the fun stuff inside, and we want to do a little good. We want to share a little world, a love. We want to offer some hope to a hurting world. But we don't want to just reach out in love. We want to provide something for you to also nourish yourself this Advent season. In your bulletin, did you see something that was inserted here? Did you find that? Can you find this? Pull that out. This Advent season, the start of the new year, we want to help you nurture your own spirit. Grow in your relationship with God. So we have the Luke Christmas invitation for you. Did you know that the Gospel of Luke has 24 chapters? So tomorrow morning, or tomorrow, or if you want to be, you know, the excellent student that's ahead of the curve, today, go for it. Tomorrow or today, start reading one chapter each day in December. Studying God's word, reading about the stories of Jesus, reading one chapter every single day in December. And by Christmas Eve, you will have read through the entire Gospel of Luke, learning about the stories of Jesus as you prepare to celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. As you dig into God's word, then on the back, there's some questions for you to reflect upon. Not just like quickly read the text, but like read it and reflect upon it. And if there's other people that live with you at home, talk about some of these questions about what you read. Or join back with your Advent study during the weekday. Or bring a really great question and see if you can stump your pastor. That's always fun. And talk about it in fellowship time with each other. So this Advent season, we're inviting you to nourish yourself, to prepare your hearts, and to think about what good can we do? What's all the good that these crazy Methodists can be up to this Advent season? We have beautiful roots from John Wesley. Let's go live those out. Let's pray. Almost loving and gracious God, in this new year season, we are lighting this candle of hope. We know, Lord, that you are our hope in hard times. You are the light of the world. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And so on this first day of this new Christian year, Lord, may we be strengthened by your love. May we not only focus on preparing our homes to get ready for Christmas, but may we focus on preparing our hearts for Christmas as well. In Christ's holy name we pray, in gratitude for the love and love and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
bright star will shine in the sky.
For a tiny baby is coming soon.
Angel songs will echo on high.
For a tiny baby is coming soon.
Child of wonder, child of love, sent from heaven above.
Tell the world to look for the sign.
For the tiny baby is coming soon.
And tell the wonderful news.
Thank you, choir, and inspiration as always. We welcome you here this morning and ask that you be in an attitude of prayer at this time. God most holy, the lighting of the Advent candles reminds us that you are the light and life of our world. For the air that we breathe, for warmth and light, food to eat and water to drink, for all the good, we give you thanks and praise. For the good news of the gospel, healing and wholeness, freedom and justice, we offer our hearts in service. You are the gracious touch that encourages and strengthens us. Help us to recognize and resist the evil that can be so stealthy at times. Guide our thoughts and words, and help us to know and appreciate the grace only you can offer. May our lives reflect your light day by day, so that we might be the means through which others encounter Jesus Christ. By your grace, be the force that unites us, the light by which we see, the anchor in turbulent times, and the rock upon which we stand. Wrap us in your arms and fill us with your spirit so that we might infuse this world with your light and glory. We ask that you bless the comforting prayer quilt to be given in honor of a child of God this morning. Bestow upon that person your love and calming peace. At this time, we offer in silence the names of those in our hearts as we share our personal concerns and joys. We come from the season of thanksgiving into the season of light and joy and yet more thanksgiving. Let us feel your Holy Spirit flowing through us as we repeat the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings today. You know, we're a church that's always looking for ways to help others. And one way we do this is through our Prayers and Squares ministry, where every Monday morning, probably 25 people or so come, and they convert fabric into warm prayers for other people. A couple of weeks ago, they held a craft show, a quilt and craft show, to raise money to buy that fabric. And do you know how much money they raised? Get a number in your mind. Da-da-da-da-da, drum roll. $15,000. Wow. We thank God for every chance to share our gifts and our talents with others, and we thank our prayer quilt ministry people for the way that they represent us and enable us to pray for others. We're also happy to share prayers for anyone, whether it's related to a quilt type need or just a prayer that you have in your heart. You can put your prayer requests and your connection cards into the offering plates.
Emmanuel, God with us, as we prepare to celebrate your coming, we bring our gifts of time and talent and treasure to the ministry of this church. Bless them and use them to spread the message of hope that you offer. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
the risk of sounding like an infomercial, friends, grab your invites so you can share these with somebody. Who are you going to invite to sit with you during Christmas Eve worship? Whether it's the 11 o'clock kids-oriented service or 2 o'clock at our Whitmore Lake campus, it's a great time to worship if you don't want to drive at night. Or at 5 with the praise band, or 7 and 9 with the choir and the bells. And on the back, there's opportunities to do all the good you possibly can. And I hope you'll take your bookmark and put it in your Bibles this week as you're reading your way through the Gospel of Luke. And join us downstairs, 11 o'clock. Go forth, may the love of God be with you. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you, and the power of the Holy Spirit give you grace to go out and live your faith in this world, offering hope. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.